Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Rees-Mandel and I'm your host on today's program, The New Rise of Religious Radio in Ireland. I'll be talking with Andrew O'Boyle, who helped found one of the first community radio stations in Ireland, and he'll highlight how the fact that religious radio is brand new there, but old hat here in the U.S., highlights some of the differences between the U.S. and European media landscapes. You do want to stay tuned. Thanks for joining me, Andrew.
Glad to be here again.
It's been about a year or so since I think you were last in, maybe even a little longer. And I was hoping that we could touch on a little bit about what's going on with radio and to a larger extent media in Ireland, which I think represents a bit of what goes on more in Europe and highlights some of the differences between American media, American radio in particular, which is really unique compared to the rest of the world situation.
And certainly, and happy to be here again to do it.
So one thing that I've heard about, and partially because you've highlighted on your blog and things in speaking with you, is that Ireland is now getting onto the verge of licensing religious radio stations, which is a brand new thing for Ireland, but something which has existed in the United States for quite some time.
Yeah, well it's almost 20 years now since the first independent broadcasters were licensed in Ireland. Next year will be 20 years since the first legislative moves were made that led to both commercial and then later community stations coming on air. And over that period of time, the licensing authority, which is now called the Broadcasting Commission of Ireland, the BCI, has resisted applications from groups that wanted to set up explicitly religious stations, so stations that were aimed at proselytizing. I should perhaps explain, as with most of Europe, up until, as I say, about 20 years ago, broadcasting was dominated by a state-owned operator, operating to varying extents at arm's length from governmental apparatus, but funded through television license fee, previously a radio licensing fee, or license fee. And that station, RTE, wasn't wholly a secular station. In Ireland, we don't necessarily have the same strong wall between church and state. It's increasing, but in terms of requiring that there be no mention of religion in public publicly funded operations, we don't have that. So, for instance, on RTE Radio, every Sunday they have broadcasted both a Catholic Church service and a Church of Ireland, what here would be the equivalent of the Episcopalian Church service on Sunday mornings. So there has been religious content on Irish radio. And before the 1988 and 1990 Acts, we had quite a large sector, or a growing sector, of pirate stations, somewhat different in many respects from the pirate radio that people may be familiar with here in the States. Some of it was coming from a community radio perspective, having a social vision. A lot of it was essentially entrepreneurs realizing that they, you know, are calculating the risk of what it would cost them if their station was to be shut down, and operating as a business. So we had, from the mid-70s, even early 70s onwards, you saw the growth of non-state media or non-state broadcasting. And then you get, by 1988, eventually the government decides to license non-state operators. But since then, all applications for stations that would be proselytizing have been denied. And there's a certain sense in which that would seem to gel in my analysis and that of some others with the legislation we have. In Ireland, broadcasters are required to be fair, balanced in their coverage of all current affairs. Obviously, as here, one of the big issues that that where you see the intersection of religion, politics and media is dealing with issues such as abortion. And so one wonders if you've got a station that's licensed to provide a Christian service, and we get another referendum on abortion, and we've had an average of one every 5 years for the last 25 years. How will that station be able to operate in a manner where it's held to the same standard as non-religious operations?
Now, that's interesting, because in a lot of ways, the rise of Christian radio, as we know it in the United States, comes out of the 1980s when we had two things happen, really at the federal communications level, but under the Reagan administration, wherein first there was the disintegration of the Fairness Doctrine, which at that time mandated the same things you're talking about, this fairness, the right to reply, and so it really made impossible at that time to have a Rush Limbaugh, as we have here in the United States, and made it more difficult to have Christian broadcasting, which would have had a very explicit point of view. The second thing is that the non-commercial band on FM radio in the United States was moved from just being educational to being non-commercial, and religious stations were reclassified as being educational in nature. So it opened the floodgates, really, where previously only community stations or school stations or public radio stations or other sort of broadly nonprofit stations with a really specific educational purpose were allowed under in between 88 and 92 on the dial. Religious stations were then allowed in, and it was agreed by the FCC that having a religious mission was explicitly and equivalent to being educational.
Mm-hmm. And I should mention one of the other things that a lot of your listeners may not be familiar with is, so here in the United States, we're in a situation where there's a shortage of spectrum, shortage of spectrum on the broadcast, on the analog broadcast dial, and the licensing model that's been used is if there are openings if there are channels available, people can apply for them. Under the legislation we have in Ireland, we have in a country of 4 million people, we have something in the region of 25, maybe 30 commercial stations, something of the same sort of number of 25-30 community stations, and then a number of national or quasi-national and five state-owned operations, or just under five. But one of the criteria that the BCI looks at when deciding whether to allow a new station on is its impact on the radio, on the viability of existing operations. So it may be possible they may think of religious radio being something that won't encroach upon commercial stations. It'll have different sources of funding. It'll appeal to a different demographic and so on. But it has been a limiting factor in terms of the number of commercial stations we have on air. So a lot of parts of the country have only one, maybe two commercial stations in their area. And then, of course, those who are incumbent commercial stations resist any moves to bring in new stations. And the licensing authority has been more explicit in recent years, just in their commentary and so on. In the last year, they've reiterated their adherence to this principle that they don't want to damage the market for the existing operations. They see themselves as managing the development of the sector, both commercial and non-commercial, rather than seeking to fill the slots.
So you sort of mentioned sort of the context around this move to begin licensing strictly religious stations, and sort of one of the challenges of whether or not they can be fair according to the Irish rules, and also how they might fit into this management of the marketplace, so to speak, to make sure that stations are viable when they're licensed. What seems to be the push to have these stations in Ireland?
In terms of... So, our, I suppose there's a few things you can say. Ireland traditionally has been a rather conservative, largely Catholic nation. Going back 20 years, you've something around 90% or more of the population as Catholics. Large proportion of them, I don't have numbers off the tip of my tongue, but I think something over, as recently as 10 or 15 years ago, more than 70% of the population would attend Mass a number of times a month. So quite a Catholic centered country. Ireland has changed dramatically in the last 15 years, as many people, you know, anyone who's followed anything about it will know. We've become much richer. We've moved from having a lot of emigration to immigration, and we've also changed in terms of our social practices and so on. So divorce, which is of course forbidden in Catholic teaching, was legalized in Ireland in 1996. We have gay rights. The government is talking about looking for, or most of the major political parties are talking about trying to find a solution towards some form of civil union or similar recognition of the rights of homosexual couples. And so we're, I think a lot of those who are still conservative Catholics feel themselves to be somewhat under siege. So there's a change there. The percentage of the population who are Catholic is decreasing. You're seeing moderate increases in the numbers who are atheist and agnostic and or have no religion. You're seeing significant, not large, but significant increases in the population who are either Muslim or Hindu or follow other teachings. So Ireland, in terms of... And some of that is driven by immigration as much as it's driven by changes within the population. So that would be part of the... And as well, we're seeing, to a certain extent... I know I was looking at an application from a group in Galway for a religious station last year or the year before. And that was being driven by a new evangelical church pulling on ecumenical support. It had support from Catholics and Church of Ireland and so on. But that church was actually funded by a church group here in the United States. So what you're seeing is these groups, these churches who have set up religious radio here in the States, or perhaps groups that haven't been successful in getting stations here, but are trying to transplant the same techniques and the same approaches into Ireland. And so... This was one of the weaknesses that led to that particular application being rejected, insofar as the Irish, the BCI are very concerned about ownership limits and about solvency of the groups who are, you know, that the licensed group are also the people who have the money, so that no outside group has control or veto over the content on the station. And in this case, you had the proposal was for licensees in Ireland who were really being, you know, subvented to, you know, 80% or more of their budget by a church group here in the US. And so that obviously would run afoul of the desire for good governance.
Mm-hmm. And you are listening to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riesmandel, and I'm your host. I'm speaking with Andrew O'Boyle. He is a doctoral candidate at the Institute for Communications Research at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Very active in community radio and community media. He's active with Radio Free Urbana, WRFU, low-power FM station here in Urbana, Illinois, and one of the founding members of Flirt FM in Galway in Ireland, one of the first community stations in all of Ireland. Check out Media Geek online at MediaGeek.net and the radio shows at Radio.MediaGeek.net. And if you have comments, please send them to me, Paul, at MediaGeek.net. Well, so as you mentioned earlier, Ireland has almost an equivalent number of community stations and commercial stations.
Yes.
In a way, it would seem like the religious stations, kind of like the U.S., would fall more in the non-commercial, educational end of things mm-hmm. than they would towards the commercial end. Do you have any sense for how community radio operators are viewing the possibility of Christian stations, or shall we say religious stations, being licensed?
Mm-hmm. Well, strangely, yes, and one would think in terms of mission or how you would categorize them, that would be the way you would go. However, what's happening is that in terms of what... So now the BCI has decided that it is going to license a Christian-focused station. But in Ireland, most of the commercial operations have franchise areas that are maybe 40 to 100 miles in diameter. Maybe 60 to 100 miles in diameter. So they're generally a county. Mm-hmm. Community stations have much lower power output, and so generally are covering a single town or district. Within Dublin, actually, they actually cover one suburb or a community area within the city.
And this is by design?
This is by design. So the community stations are much more locally focused. Mm-hmm. You don't get a station covering... The most a station would cover in terms of population would be maybe 100,000.
Okay.
So you don't get covering counties or the like. So something in scale, something in between WEFT and WRFU in size. The proposal that's being looked at the moment is to license a station on the AM band to cover the whole country
as
a religious operator.
Okay.
So this is, you know, so even though one might think in terms of how you might think about them, that you would be looking at something similar to community radio. What's being looked at here is a national operation, something that's going to be major budget, major technical resources. What's most likely, I would imagine, though I haven't seen the detail of the two proposals that have been submitted and are being examined by the commission, would be that they would subcontract from the state operator. The state operator has an independent network arm.
Mm-hmm.
It's been required for governance purposes to have its network arm at arm's length from the rest of the operation,
right.
and to contract with any other broadcaster who wants to make use of its network resources. So I would imagine that would be the way they would go. But again, you're talking about a much different operation.
Oh yeah, I mean a large AM. Transmitter, which can cover Ireland. I mean, mm-hmm. Prior to the pollution of the AM band, that's how you know U.S. radio ran. Before television, especially, is one station would cover half the country, like a WLS in Chicago is one of these still existing so-called clear channel stations, but very expensive to run. So they're really hoping. And would this be a Catholic station?
It would be a Christian
station.
Interestingly enough, looking at the early call for proposals, it talked about a religious station, though in the body of the text it talked about the Christian community. Now they've changed the title of what in their communications press releases and calls for applications, and are talking about it explicitly as a Christian religious station that's to be licensed.
And aside from issues of fairness, mm-hmm. What are some people's reactions to this? What is the sort of, especially maybe within the community that tends to be aware of telecommunications policy, what seems to be the tide of opinion?
To a large extent, I think this is one that's going under the radar to a large extent. Because of the way the licensing process works, there's been what's been done is the commission looks for tenders from people who have identified niches they would like to fill, and then they run through the ones they receive and decide to go forward with a call for applications for some of them, and then they pick the best option, if any. So while there's room to propose extra stuff, there isn't really a formal space for debate over whether this should exist in the first place. AM's a strange choice. You talked about the pollution of the AM band. The national, the state operator, RTE, broadcasts on AM. Usually it's a simulcast of what they're putting out on the FM band. Occasionally on at weekends, they may put out two separate sports channels, one on AM and one on FM. But really, as far as I can figure, it's, especially with an increasingly urban population, FM is what an increasing proportion of the population are listening to. And so I think people aren't kind of so aware or concerned about something coming on AM. The religious operators are also, there's another area in, under a different communications arm where community operators have been making a play, which has received a little bit of attention and critique, which is a lot of churches have essentially been running pirate radio operations.
And, you know, and that's happened in the US too.
Well, what they've been running them for is they've been broadcasting their church services, the mass, over, you know, small transmitters for the local community. And the stated aim is for those people who cannot make it to mass to be able to hear mass from the home. Now, of course, the interesting thing is, and this kind of plays back into community issues again, so the state broadcaster plays a mass on the radio every week, but there's a claim that people want their local mass. You might have some local notices, but it also binds you somewhat to your community. The Comreg, which is the body in charge of telecommunication spectrum. So we have a separate body for broadcasting regulation as we have for actual spectrum regulation. And Comreg did a massive crackdown on these stations. I think maybe even up to several hundred of them were closed down over a space of time. What has now been proposed is to offer what they call community public, not public alert, but a PA system, public address systems, on a digital band. And that this would allow groups like churches or other groups.
Now, digital band meaning like on a pre-existing digital broadcast spectrum, or would you need some kind of specialized equipment to listen?
You would need some special equipment to listen. I'm not sure who produces it or who manufactures it. My memory, and again, I may be wrong on this, was it was something maybe up around the 800 megahertz band, north of FM in any event. But this was the idea was that groups would buy little receivers and distribute them to their congregants or whatever. One of the worries there, so they were explicitly saying this would be a service aimed to fill the need of religious groups. But separately, the Comreg was also opposing any special provisions for community radio in transition to digital radio. So this, according to Comreg's idea, the only provisions explicitly for community service in the digital world would be these public address services as secondary users on a non-interference basis up on a band that no one would ordinarily have receivers for.
Interesting. So with regard to the broadcast stations, then it seems that even if one station or is going to be licensed, unlike what we've seen in the United States when these policy changes happen, you're unlikely to see just this now a flood of religious radio stations in Ireland.
Irish broadcast licensing moves slowly. It took 7 years from legislation. It took 6 or 7 years before you got community stations on air.
Right.
It took another decade before they upped those numbers again. My sense is there'll be this one change. Whether or not you'll get a non-broadcast facility for the local churches for these public address type services is something that will be done through a different, probably through a different channel. But yeah, no, my sense would be that it would take a while. There are some local groups who have been looking for local operations. You might see a few come up, but again, you've got to look at the economics of the thing, that it would be rather costly. You know, look at perhaps the churches have the money to spend to expand on it, but in this instance, we're looking at a few of them coming in on stream. Whether or not that's going to have knock on effects, it's perhaps too early to say.
Now, does this represent an overall loosening, or the next step in an overall loosening in the what has otherwise been a fairly strict licensing criteria for broadcast radio in Ireland?
Yes. Yeah. I think I mentioned before that there's, you know, it's a fairly cumbersome process. You need to pull together a group that can, or a working group to produce an expression of interest to say, we're interested in serving this area. Here's how we demonstrate that this audience needs stuff. Here's how we figure it could be funded in principle. So, pre-application. Then, If the commission buys that, they open applications. You apply. It takes, you know, a year or two just to run through the application process. The fact that they're recognizing new areas, as I say, over the years, religious groups had applied for various different open slots, had put in expressions of interest, and had been repeatedly turned down. We have another regulatory body, which is the Broadcasting Complaints Commission, which deals with complaints about content, about adherence to these fairness rules. And what's going to be interesting to see is, and they've been making some rather strange decisions in recent years, somewhat inconsistent in my view. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not they apply or whether they are satisfied with the sort of content that these this religious station puts out.
Well, Andrew, this is it's kind of fascinating for an American here to hear about the licensing there in Ireland and how careful really it is, and yet it still seems to be progressing forward. And we've pretty much taken up our time with the discussion here about this sort of new move in Irish broadcasting. I hope you'll come back and we'll get to talk a little bit about digital broadcasting.
Thank you for having me on, Paul.
Thank you, Andrew. That brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I'm host and producer Paul Riesmandel. I'll be back in 1 week with another half-hour look at independent and grassroots media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. In the meantime, check out the frequently updated Media Geek blog at mediageek.net. The program can also be downloaded at radio.mediageek.net, where you can subscribe to the podcast. Media Geek is produced at Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois, and is heard on 10 other community stations around North America, including KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, KQRP in Salida, California, KRBS in Oroville, California, WSLR in Sarasota, Florida, WTND Macomb, Illinois, WRFA in Jamestown, New York, CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia, WYQZ in Warrenton, Bealeton, Virginia, KWMD Kasilov in Anchorage, Alaska, WVEW in Brattleboro, Vermont, and Free Radio Olympia in Olympia, Washington. It's also on the web at Free Radio San Diego, Pirate969.org, and RadioDriftless.org. Media Geek is free to air on your local non-commercial station, too. Just email Paul at MediaGeek.net. That's also where you can send comments about the program, Paul at MediaGeek.net. Thanks for tuning in.